Welcome back to Edge Show number 73. I'm Simon Perryman, technical evangelist, joined again by David Tassar. We have a good show to you today, kind of highlighting some of our big enhancements that we've made with our upcoming release, a release that we like to call the Cloud OS. Now, Cloud OS is really trying to combine three of our big data center technologies, Windows Azure plus Windows Server 2012 R2 plus System Center 2012 R2, to really kind of combine these technologies, given best in industry capabilities around disaster recovery and replication. Stay tuned, we'll get there soon. First, we're going to cover the news, and this week, one of the big events we have is TechEd Australia streaming live here on Channel 9. Now, David, you went to Australia last year, right?
Yeah.
What exactly is this event? What do they do over there?
It's great. You know, it's hosted over at the Gold Coast in Australia, which is north of Sydney. And, you know, they have their whole event recorded. And it's, I think, you know, it's a really great opportunity for those of you out there to have some additional learning experiences because, you know, it's a good transition, you know, time between TechEd North America in June. Now we're September. Some new things have released. R2, perhaps.
Getting closer to launch, absolutely.
Right, and so, you know, you can definitely check out a bunch of the sessions that they have there, which should be up maybe even by the time you've seen this, so there'll probably some up already for you to check out and take a look at. I was there last year. It was awesome. Great experience.
Very nice. Well, the next big news I think you want to cover being our former mobile guy, right?
Yeah, sure. So, we have announced that we are going to be buying Nokia's devices and services. So that is a pretty big deal, really. You know, I personally am a fan of Nokia phones. I have the 820 myself. And I think this would really offer us a big opportunity to take things to the next level with the devices and services working better together. I know that I do enjoy some of the services Nokia has. Such as their mapping technology. I think it's pretty good.
So, very cool. So stay tuned. There's going to be a lot more information coming out on how we're better collaborating and really, you know, providing a service throughout the stack now from the software, the cloud services, all the way down to the hardware.
Pending regulatory review. I'll
of
just
course.
Put that little caveat legal note on there, but yes.
Excellent, excellent. Well, next thing that we wanted to let you guys know about, we have just released a new ebook that is completely free on Windows Server 2012 R2. And this ebook is essentially going to give you an overview of all the new capabilities. So not so much focused on a step-by-step guide of how you set up Active Directory, but really focused on what's new, what's different, and how you're going to take advantage of these new features to go and enhance your own data center. So go ahead, check out this ebook now, and get the free download.
Cool. Next up, we have the Windows 8.1 release to manufacturing. And this is a little bit different than the way most people are used to in that people hear RTM a lot of times are like, all right, well, give me the bits right now. And really, I believe, you know, that, and this is back to our roots of what RTM really was originally, which is released to manufacturing.
So not to customers,
right.
But to the manufacturers.
To manufacturers, right. Okay. And so technically, yes, we are code complete, but we want to give an ample amount of time for our hardware manufacturers, right, to make sure they test and put all the drivers in. So that way, come holiday time, we're going to start to, I'm sure, see a ton of new hardware, that we have a great experience out of the box where we can have all those drivers and things loaded up and ready to go for people.
The synergy between the hardware and the software working better together.
Yeah, and you also got to think about the fact that, I mean, how quickly we've released, right? I mean,
we've been busy.
I mean, if you look at the old history of things, we were, you know, 2 to 3 years from a you know, point to an R2 release. We're now in a year, so you know, you can. I think you should have some understanding and grace and say, hey, I can wait till October 18th. Right, which is the date where you should have access to that to get those bits.
Very nice. Yeah. Thanks, Darren. Yeah. Well, next couple of things are some new courses which have just come out on the Microsoft Virtual Academy. What's first?
So we have the Windows Server 2012 R2 Jumpstart with our colleague, Rick Claus, which is a great learning course to go through if you want to dig into what are all the enhancements and the new things from 2012. So, you know, there's a 2012 one as well. You know, so if you want to kind of get a foundation of that, great. Or if you just want to know what's new and in some depth, then check that one out. Then there's also the Advanced PowerShell MVA course with Jeffrey Snover. That's a there's actually two courses related to that. The first one is the kind of PowerShell basics. So if you're not, you know, familiar with PowerShell at all, I'd say, hey, go to that course first, then attend the advanced one, and then after that, you know, you can have your PowerShell ninja guru status.
Right? There you go. Take both of them. You're set for PowerShell.
Yep.
All right. Well, the next thing that we've just released on the Microsoft Virtual Academy is kind of a deep dive for IT pros on using the sysinternal tools. Now, sysinternals is kind of a partner company with Microsoft that basically enhances a lot of the existing IT pro tools. So looking at things such as memory utilization, advanced task scheduler, and then even some fun, I guess, demo tools that we regularly use, like Zoom It.
Yeah.
One of our most popular ones to give you that nice Zoom feature and Zoom capability. So a great way to really kind of learn what's being enhanced here, looking at all the system internal tools with Process Explorer, Process Monitor, and a whole lot more. Final thing that we're going to be talking about related to the MVA is an upcoming Jumpstart, which is then going to be published shortly afterwards as an MVA course. And this is taking a look at Query and SQL Server 2012. So this isn't so much around building the infrastructure that supports it. It's more around how DBAs can take advantage of the latest capabilities to really understand how they can make the most out of their SQL queries. Looking at advanced select statements, different types of data types, being able to go and adjust, modify the query, and then even some programming with T-SQL. So if you want to really kind of ramp up on the latest querying techniques, SQL Server 2012, join us on September 13th for this live Jumpstart.
So we're giving a little shout out to the DBA because, you know, we know that you're not quite a developer and you're not quite an IT guy.
Somewhere in the middle.
You are a database guy. And so we just wanted to make sure you had that knowledge, right?
Great. And cool. Stay tuned. This will gradually be released as a Microsoft Virtual Academy course. But why would people want to go and attend a live Jumpstart? What are the benefits from going to these live events?
Yeah, the great thing is, you know, when you attend a live course, as you and I both know, you get that interactive experience, right? You want your questions answered. You know, we have not just the instructors answering questions, but we also have other folks on the chat so that you can interact, right? Which is something that after the recording's there, you know, you're kind of on your own, right? You know, so, and also, you know, interacting with the audience too, right? So if there's other people that are attending, a lot of people post useful links or other things that you may have not gained access to otherwise, right?
Great, so sign up September 13th, and we'll add the link to the bottom of this page. Well, with that, let's go over to our interview and take a look at the Hyper-V Recovery Manager. Welcome back to The Edge Show. In this topic, I'm joined by Prabhu, and we're going to be discussing one of the new enhancements that we've made around our Cloud OS, where we're really trying to bring together System Center along with Windows Server and then Windows Azure as well, kind of bringing together this vision of this collaborative data center, this Cloud OS. And one of the biggest investments we've made is around recovery, specifically disaster recovery, using a technology called the Hyper-V Recovery Manager. Before we get there, I'm going to turn it over to Prabhu to give himself a little introduction.
Sure. Thanks for having me here, Simon. My name is Prabhu Rambhadran. I'm a senior product manager in the Windows Server and System Center product marketing team. My main area of focus is around the software-defined networking, software-defined storage, disaster recovery as a service, backup, spanning across Windows Server and System Center suite of products.
Excellent. So let's talk about our disaster recovery. But first of all, let's define disaster recovery and kind of clarify, how is that different from traditional high availability?
Good question. So when you think about high availability, right, most people talk about it with respect to ensuring that their apps are running within a specific data center.
Something crashes, it restarts,
exactly.
Comes back online.
Right. Think of, you know, having a multi-node cluster, where even if a single node, be it physical or virtual, if it goes down, your app doesn't come down.
Right.
So that handles failures within a given data center. But disaster recovery focuses on failures across multiple pieces in the data center. Think of a worst case scenario when a physical, when a natural disaster hits, a hurricane or something like that, and your entire data center is not powered on or is just not up and running. So what you need to have is a solution that brings up all your applications on a secondary data center within a short period of time so that your business is continuously running.
So I guess a good way to define it is failover clustering is kind of like local failover. This multi-site disaster recovery is kind of multiple data center cross-site failover.
Exactly. So Windows Server and System Center provides you high availability at multiple levels in the stack, right? If you think about failures within the storage layer, we have technologies like storage spaces where your data is written across multiple disks. You have parity and mirrored configuration so that your data is always available. Then you have backup products like System Center Data Protection Manager, which backs up your data onto either Windows Azure or another data center or, you know, disks and tapes so that your data is available in case of a disaster. But backup typically means that the time that you take to recover your data is typically more.
Because you have to actually restore it, take it off of disk, move it somewhere.
Right, so which means that you have to bring your tapes in, restore the data from the tapes onto the disk and things like that, right? But not all enterprises are ready to live with that kind of timeline to bring the data back up. That brings the need to have a disaster recovery solution, right? What that gives you is that, you know, within a moment's notice, you could basically fail over from your primary site to a secondary site.
Great.
So that, you know, even if something happens to your primary data center, your apps are running in your secondary data center.
So let's say I have these two data centers. What would be the requirements for someone to really have kind of a disaster recovery solution? I assume the data has to be available in both locations, but what other types of requirements do we have?
Sure. So before we get into Hyper-V Recovery Manager, right, let's talk about the underlying plumbings. So Hyper-V Recovery Manager basically works with Hyper-V Replica, which is a technology that we introduced in Windows Server 2012. So what this lets you do is, for example, if you have a host running multiple VMs in it, right, and then you have another Windows Server host running on a different campus completely, right? So as long as the hosts can talk to each other, Hyper-V Replica lets you replicate VMs that are running on a data center onto another data center. So it replicates the entire VM from one location onto another location. So this is awesome, right? Because you have a solution for DR, which is built into Windows Server. But the challenge here is that most customers have hundreds of VMs and tens of VMs that comprise a single application. Mm-hmm. So what you need to do is have the ability to orchestrate your failover, orchestrate how often the VMs get replicated from one data center onto another, and the order in which the VMs start up and come down in case a disaster strikes, right? So you need an orchestration solution that works with Hyper-V Replica. So you obviously have PowerShell or System Center Orchestrator that you could use to basically build and stitch an orchestration solution.
And you could even do that today before the R2 release.
Exactly. So you could do that today. But a lot of customers want, you know, a quick, easy solution to get DR up and running. So that's where Hyper-V Recovery Manager comes into the picture.
Great. Now, you mentioned that this only replicates virtual machines. You know, we have a lot of customers that have these high-end applications, right? SQL,
right.
Exchange, SharePoint. If we're only replicating the VMs, are we still able to protect those types of enterprise applications?
Right. So a lot of these applications today have inbuilt replication, right? For example, SQL can synchronously write across multiple data centers or multiple storage locations, the data that it writes to whatever storage that it's accessing. So the good thing here is that Hyper-V Replica and Hyper-V Recovery Manager gives you that VM-level protection, and the apps themselves have storage-level replication, and these two could work well with each other. And the more important point that we need to think about is, you know, the VMs of today can be up to 64 terabytes in size, right? Mm-hmm. What that means is, in addition to the VM, the data that the VM accesses could be virtualized as well. And with Hyper-V Replica and Hyper-V Recovery Manager, you could both replicate your VM and the data that uses onto another location. So it's a single solution for both.
Great. Now, what happens if we have a customer that just has a custom application? Their own application is running inside a Hyper-V virtual machine. Could we replicate that?
As long as, like I mentioned, the data is within the VM, you could replicate it without the application ever knowing about it.
Because essentially we're replicating that VHD file,
exactly.
Right? That's what moves from our first to our second. So as long as the data is stored on that VHD, it's going to be available in those two different locations.
Exactly, exactly.
Great. Well, that kind of gives us a basic overview of Hyper-V Replica and what came out in 2012 RTM. Lots of product numbers. we did make a few enhancements to Hyper-V Replica in 2012 R2. Could you just quickly cover a few of those brief enhancements we made?
Sure, sure. So if you look at Hyper-V Replica in 2012, right, it lets you replicate VMs from one data center onto another data center.
And it's what, every 5 minutes, is that right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So, but if you look at Hyper-V Replica in 2012 R2, we've made a couple of important changes there. Think of, you know, your primary data center being your data center and your replication data center being, let's say, a hoster, right? So you could replicate from your data center onto your hoster's data center with 2012. But what if the hoster wants to replicate all the VMs that they have onto another data center?
A backup location, exactly. Somewhere slightly further away, maybe,
right.
If there's a regional disaster, right?
Exactly. So you have A to B and B to C replication with 2012 R2. And the other thing that we've done is the replication schedule. Mm-hmm. Before it was once every 5 minutes, but now you have a configurable value of 30 seconds, 5 minutes, and 15 minutes.
Great, so a lot of flexibility,
right,
there,
so
if you need less downtime.
So it's near synchronous if you choose it for 30 seconds.
Great.
And the other important thing is that Hyper-V Replica seamlessly works with network virtualization now. So what you could do is essentially virtualize your network using Hyper-V network virtualization on both sides, your primary data center and your secondary data center. So your VMs could move from your virtual network A to your virtual network B, which is on another data center, as long as you've configured both networks the same way.
Very nice. Now, Hyper-V Recovery Manager, as you mentioned before, this kind of gives us these added capabilities of orchestrating the
right.
recovery. You know, there's a hurricane coming in 3 days, gradually shut down the first data center, fail everything over, bring it online on your second day.
Right.
So how exactly do our customers configure this? How do they sign up? What are the requirements to be able to use HVRM?
Sure. So the most important thing to remember is we spoke about, you know, customers having the ability to build their own orchestration engines. The hard challenge is that these scripts or whatever they are run in your primary data center, right?
Right.
So once your primary data center goes down, the scripts go down as well.
They're unavailable as well, unless
exactly.
they're replicated, and you have to manage that process too.
Right. So with Windows Azure, you now have the ability to run the script or service on Windows Azure, and Windows Azure manages or monitors these two data centers and can orchestrate the failover from one data center onto another. So getting back to your question again, what do you need, right? So as long as you have System Center Virtual Machine Manager on both sides, mm-hmm. 2012 SP1 release and above, Hyper-V Recovery Manager, you basically install an agent on the machine that has Virtual Machine Manager running. And the agent talks to Windows Azure and pushes the metadata from Virtual Machine Manager onto Azure. The most important thing to know is that the actual data or the VMs never go to Azure. It's only the metadata that gets transferred to Azure. So you could be rest assured that your data is always in the data center that you choose.
That's going to be secured. Okay.
Right.
So what do you mean by metadata? Is that like the names of the VMs, the states of the VMs, that
exactly.
type of information?
So the agent sends information that VMM has about the VM, and it sends it on a frequent basis onto Windows Azure. So all the information that you typically see on the VMM console, a lot of it, you could see it in the Hyper-V Recovery Manager console as well.
Great. Now, what are we looking at here, and how do people get set up with HVRM?
So HVR is currently under a limited release.
Okay.
So what that means is you go to the Windows Azure portal and request access for it. It'll soon get into a paid preview format before the end of this year, after which customers could basically buy a Hyper-V Recovery Manager as a standalone product and use it for DR. So what you're looking at is the Azure console. So Hyper-V Recovery Manager is basically baked into Windows Azure. So if you have a Windows Azure portal account, you could basically use the same account to manage your on-premise VMM environments for DR purposes. So what you're seeing here is the Windows Azure portal, and I'm in the Recovery Services tab, which is HVRM. And Contoso Corp is basically my enterprise that I'm protecting. And as soon as I click this, it shows the number of VMs that I'm currently protecting and lets me perform various activities from within this console.
Great. So as we kind of go through this, could you kind of give us an overview of the high-level feature set? And then maybe could we even see a quick demo of a test failover as
well? Sure. So the dashboard basically shows the number of VMs that I'm protecting, right? If I get into the protected items, this shows my primary data center and my recovery data center. So I have both listed here. Let's just get into the primary data center. And what this does is, so this is the information that I was talking about that Windows Azure collects from system.
This is the metadata that we're sharing up there.
Right. So it shows the name of the VMs, the active location of the VMs, the replication status, when I last replicated, and information like that. So this constantly gets updated based on information that VMM provides it. So at a quick glance, I could check the status of the individual VMs that I'm running. So I have a few VMs that are running in the primary data center that are basically active in the primary data center, and a few VMs that are running in my secondary data center, which is my Contoso Recovery Cloud. I could either perform failover by individual VM level, or what I could do is create what we call recovery plans. So recovery plans let me group a bunch of VMs together that constitute a single application.
So this could be kind of similar to that VMM concept of a service and a service template,
right?
These multi-tier front-end where back-end database, where
right,
there's some type of hierarchy, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So if I look into my recovery plan that I currently have, I have the ability to split it into multiple groups, right? So what this lets me do is start the domain controller first, followed by my SQL machines, and then start my web tier after that, and things like that, right? So I could choose whatever I want to do from within my DR plan and orchestrate it here. I could add manual scripts. I could add scripts that get run automatically. I could even add a manual step which says, you know what, call Bob, so that he goes and plugs in the networking cables in the right place or configures networking the way you want. So it's super easy to create. All that I need to do is just walk through a simple wizard and add the VMs that I want to add to the mix or to the recovery plan, and I'm all set from that point on.
Now, one of the challenges I hear a lot of customers have when they do this multi-site failover is updating the IP addresses for their VMs. You mentioned there's some customization here. I mean, how would you recommend that our customers go about, and if they have to change the IP address of their VM, they do that in the most effective way possible?
Sure. So the good thing, like I mentioned, is that it integrates deeply with Hyper-V Replica, right? So when you replicate a VM from your primary data center onto the secondary data center, you could actually configure the network settings at that point on.
Nice.
So when the VM starts up, it basically starts up with the IP address that you give it or automatically acquire it depending on the network configuration on the other data center. You could also do it from here. These are the same settings that you would see in Hyper-V Replica. So if you choose a VM, and then if you get into the configure section, so it lets me give a variety of information here, including, you know, my network configuration, what my primary location is, what my secondary location is, what my copy frequency is, and so on.
Great. Now, what happens if, you know, there's an unexpected disaster? Let's say all of a sudden everything's running in my primary data center. There's a regional power outage. We didn't expect it. Everything shuts down. What's going to be my options for going and bringing things over to my secondary data center as quickly as possible?
So what you essentially do here is you choose the recovery plan, and then you perform a failover. When you choose to perform a failover, you have two choices. One is planned failover, and the other one is unplanned failover. Planned failover basically shuts down the VMs on your primary side, make sure that they're all down, and then starts the VMs in the secondary side. You could add customizations on top of it if you want. But unplanned failover is exactly for the scenario that you spoke about, where, you know, you don't care about what happens to the first side, but just start my VMs on my secondary side.
Get them up and running, right.
Exactly.
Okay.
So all that I need to do is just choose the recovery plan that I have, and then choose whether I want to do planned failover or unplanned failover, and then, you know, get started now.
Great. So what are we going to take a look at now? What are we going to see here in this example?
So what I'm essentially doing is performing an unplanned failover. So it's saying that, you know what, VMM01 is my primary VMM server that it used to collect the information from, and VMM03 is the destination data center or destination VMM server. And then all that I need to do is just click OK, and the VMs would basically start off in my secondary data center. This is the environment that this is monitoring. So I currently have VMM03 and VMM01.
Okay.
So you could see that a bunch of VMs are running in VMM03, and all the VMs are stopped in the other server.
Mm-hmm.
So all that I need to do is just install agents on the VMM server, and I'm good to go from that point of time. And another important point to notice here is that even if I have tens of hundreds of hosts having tens of hundreds or thousands of VMs running, all that I need to do is just install the agent on the VMM server alone.
So not on every host, not on every VM, just on that single VMM management server.
Exactly. So that simplifies management to a large extent. So let's just go ahead and perform a failover now. And over the next few minutes, it should just fail over to my secondary side. So it's
excellent.
As simple as that.
Very cool. Well, we'll have this running in the background. While we do that, are there any final words or resources that you can point people to where they can go and learn more?
Right. So go to windowsazure.com, and you could request for the recovery services preview. It basically registers a request against us, and you should get an invitation pretty soon. The other thing to do is Brad Anderson, our Corporate Vice President of Engineering across Windows Server and System Center, he's been writing a series of blogs around different technologies that we've introduced across System Center and Windows Server over the last few months. There's a very good and detailed blog post that he wrote around Hyper-V Recovery Manager, and you should have the link to that blog as soon as this video goes out. And that's a great place to check out. And that has a good set of call to actions that you could go and perform.
Excellent. Well, as we wrap this up, can we do a quick status check here on our
VM,
see how things are moving along? Now, of course, we got to keep in mind this is not instantaneous. We are trying to do this gracefully, gradually bring things down, save the state of the memory, ensure the latest points have been replicated,
right.
Bring things back up. So it's not going to be an instant failover,
right.
So to speak.
Within the next few minutes, you should just see the VMs on the right side slowly starting up.
Very cool. Well, Prabhu, thank you so much for joining us. It's a great technology. We'll include all of these links so that we can get our customers started protecting their data centers and moving towards this integrated cloud OS.
Awesome.
Thanks once again.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I hope you learned a lot about the Hyper-V Recovery Manager and some of these new capabilities. I started playing around with it. Very cool. I'm definitely going to be demoing this at my upcoming event, so stay tuned. Make sure you stay informed, because it's going to be a great technology saving you from all different types of disasters. But if you have any other questions about that, any other questions, comments for us and the team, where can people go to learn more?
Yeah, so you know our team's accounts here will give you the three options for you. One is to join our Facebook page. Feel free to comment on that or interact with our community. You can send a tweet to us at TNEdge. You can email us, edge@microsoft.com, and actually I will say a fourth thing, comment on this video post if you have questions. And I like to say, if there's questions related to the Simon's technical interview, definitely comment on the post. That way other people have the ability to see what you've written there.
So. And we could share that knowledge, continue that discussion.
There we go.
Awesome. Alrighty. Thanks, David. And we will see you back next week for episode 74. Thanks.